Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
I'm glad that y'all are here today. And as we come together in worship, just to a lot of us come for fellowship, but today we are coming to join together as the body of Christ to celebrate who Christ is in our life. And as we celebrate that, it is to glorify Him and lift Him up. Now, I just noticed that y'all were not nearly excited about being here as you were about the possum running across the football field. See, now there's the laughter we need. We need to take that energy, we need to multiply it. We're here for Jesus today. And as we do that, I mean, if I need to go get a possum, I think we have two that live at our house. I'll go find them, and I'll put it on Dallas's back.
Let's go.
We'll energize the room in a hurry, amen? So let's just think about the glory of the Lord as we worship today. Scripture tells us about how we gather, how we worship, what our intentions are. We're going to hear that today. So my question is today, what are your expectations for being here? Why did you get up? Why did you get ready? Why did you drive here? If it wasn't that the Lord was going to meet you, the Lord was going to speak to you, then I don't know why you're here. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And so let's just have an expectation. I think God's going to do great things in your life today and in mine too. So that's going to be my prayer for us. Lord God, as we gather in your holy name, Lord, as we are here in this place or joining online, Lord, as we have made an effort to be with you as the body of Christ, Lord, where your spirit is, Lord, I know that we don't have to be together, but Lord, we are. And so, Lord, we have an expectation, or Lord, I pray that you'd raise our expectation of what you're wanting to do in our lives today, how you're wanting to introduce yourself or reveal yourself to us today. Lord, let it be powerful. Let it be moving. Let it be transformative for each and every one of us. In the holy and powerful and precious name of Jesus, all the people said, amen. Lord, just thank you that, Lord, as I just think about the busyness of this day in ministry and all the moving parts, and Lord, just things not going the way I had planned or the way Dallas had planned, Lord, with technology and timing and instruments. Lord, that one phrase, your grace is always with me. Lord, thank you and praise you just for that, Lord, that your grace is always with us. Lord, that you don't leave us. And I know I say it all the time. You don't leave us and you don't forsake us. Lord, that's a great comfort for me, and I hope it is for others in the room and online today. Lord, just as we're here, Lord, and just in our time of prayer, so many needs, so many concerns. Lord, there's lots of joys. There's things to celebrate. We have moments in life to laugh about. We have moments in life to cry about. Lord, we're healthy, we're unhealthy. Lord, we've received just wonderful reports in so many different areas, and Lord, and some of the others are not so good. Lord, we have new babies in the room, and Lord, and here we are to honor those that have died. Lord, it's every range of emotion that we need to submit to you today. Because unless we rely on you, Lord, we are going to fall apart. We will come apart at the wheels, and there will be no saving us without you. So, Lord, just intervene. Intervene in our lives in the most gracious, powerful, loving way. Lord, to draw us closer to you. Lord, to comfort us. To love on us, to share with us. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. So today for us individually, and you know, it's in the life of our fellowship here in our community and our family of love here, our family of faith. We just don't have yet a lot of people within our own congregation that have died and gone to be with the Lord in the last 20 years, right? But none of y'all are aging, but I'm getting older. Amen?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. And so it is going to start happening more and more. And now, I'm going to tell you this. This is my true confession, and then we're going to move on. I don't like death at all. I say this at every funeral, and I say it every year at this time. I don't like death at all, not because of for those who have died, but for us that are left behind. Amen? Yeah, it's not about, I mean, it's great joy. I am so glad for John and for Gordon. And y'all don't get these. We didn't pass these out to everybody this year, but John Blake, a wonderful member of our community here, and Gordon Rasmussen, another wonderful member of our community this past year. It's been a little longer since John went to heaven, but Gordon and Jeanette is here today. Gordon went to heaven just about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And so when we think of that, let's remember them. Not really even Gordon and John, even though we want to remember their legacy and their love and joy that they had for all of us, but to remember John's daughter, Shauna, and to remember Gordon's bride, Jeanette. And I really got close to both of them. Gordon and Jeanette moved in across the street from Robin and I back in, was it 2020? 2019, right before, yes, you're right, right before 2020. And so we got really close to each other. And then just I got to spend some great time with John, just in lots of conversations, and for him kind of returning to the fellowship of the church after many years of kind of hurt and heartache in that. And so for all of us, that's a celebration. Now then, for every one of us, we all know someone that we can light a candle for. I mean, even just for me, a mom and a dad. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, cousins, relatives, whoever it is. And so everybody's invited to this. But I'm going to start with just Jeanette and the Baucom family. So if y'all want to come up. I just want to pray for them. This gets real personal for me. Spent lots of time in Jeanette's front yard and the living room. And so come on over here. I just want to pray for y'all. Lord God, for these two families, and Lord, and so many of others of us in the room, Lord, there's a gap in our life, Father, and that gap has been created by the death of someone that we love. Someone that lived with us and that communed with us, that fellowshiped with us, Lord, that shared life with us. And so, Lord, I know nothing can take their place. And Lord, and I'm not asking for a physical person to fill that gap, but Lord, I'm asking your Holy Spirit to not only fill that gap, but to bridge that gap until we can all be together again. Lord, as Scripture says, at your heavenly banquet. Lord, and so give them your comfort, give them your peace, Lord, and we're here to worship you. We're not worshiping John or Gordon, but Father, we are here to remember them. We are here to honor them, and we are here to love this family and each other. For all of us that are remembering the loss of someone that we love, I can just think of someone in the room with a brother, moms and dads. Lord, sons and daughters, Lord, and so many different others. Lord, give us your comfort. Give us your peace. Lord, give us your joy in knowing they are with you until we can all be together again. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord God, thank you. Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, we plan and we work. Lord, this is life, not just on Sunday morning, but Lord, when life happens, you use all things for the good of those who are called according to your purpose. And Lord, so I believe that's true with your money and how you give it to us. Lord, when we use it for your good and for your purposes, Father, you bless that and you multiply that and you give us more resources. So today, as we give, Father, I pray that if we don't even think we have enough to give, Lord, that you would provide. Lord, that you would show us, even if we don't give today, Lord, because we're fearful and we're worried, Lord, that you would just show up in a mighty way financially for us this week, Lord, and as we give, Lord, use those gifts, Lord, to further your kingdom, Lord, to grow your kingdom, to show your love, your grace, and your mercy to all those that we come in contact with. It's in the name of Jesus, all the people said, amen. So again, try to get the notes. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. If it doesn't, about the time we finish up, it'll pop up because it's an hour behind. So just be there. Now, here's what I want to talk about today is about falling asleep. And now, when we think about falling asleep, Scripture talks about it in three different ways. There's a physical way, there's a spiritual way, and then even Scripture refers to falling asleep as dying as well. We're not talking about falling asleep physically. We're not talking about falling asleep in the Lord, in death. What we're talking about is falling asleep spiritually. But when we talk about falling asleep, if you Google spiritual sleep, be careful. I did, just to see what would pop up. And let me just tell you some of the things one of them was the spiritual discipline of sleep. Now, hallelujah, I don't know about y'all, but I love to sleep. Anybody with me? My family used to make fun of me because I like to sleep so much. I could easily, years ago, do a 12 or 13 hour stretch. Anybody with me? Yeah, some of us can. As I've gotten older, that's not necessarily the case, but I can still do an easy 9 hours. In 10 or 11, but how about insomnia from a spiritual awakening? I looked at that. There's just a lot of deception in there. Don't look at that one. There's the art of spiritual sleep. That's just a New Age teaching. Don't look at that. Sleep is the sanctuary of your soul. Well, if you're not a Christian, I would agree with that, but that's not the sanctuary of our soul. And then, though, here's where you have to be careful. You're not going to believe this, some of you are. Some of you, this is going to hit really close to home. But this one was called Sleep, a Prophetic Ministry, from the Assistant Professor of Spirituality at Duke School of Divinity. One of our most conservative theological institutions has now gone into the fact that we're saying sleep can be a prophetic ministry. All sleep can do prophetically is to either tell you if you're going to be tired the next day or not. Amen? And so you got to be careful. And so even for us here, when we talk about sleep, spiritually, physically, mentally, whatever it is, we have to be careful because we can misinterpret it. Like one Sunday, I was going great guns on one of the most powerful messages that I've ever preached. And I look in the back, and I'm about to land the plane, as we say, on staff, where we're going to kind of finish up the sermon and hit the driving points, the main topics. And I look at the back, and my spiritual brother in Christ is back there, and he's got his head bowed and his eyes closed. And I'm like, man, he is praying for you, and he is praying for me right now. This is going to be powerful. I mean, he grew up Pentecostal, so I know he is pounding on the gates of heaven saying, Lord, come on! So I kept preaching. Amen. It's his fault, not mine. And so I kept preaching. And then when I'm really about to land the plane and it's time for the praise team to come back up, I look back there and man, he has got his eyes closed and his head bowed and he's rocking. I'm thinking, man, the Spirit of the Lord is on him. And then all of a sudden he jolts like this and either a manifestation left him or a manifestation entered him. I wasn't sure which one it was, but suddenly I figured out he had just fallen asleep during my sermon. Now, granted, Dallas had been on a three-day retreat. He had done worship all weekend, Friday, Saturday. He got back in here about 4 o'clock Sunday morning. He came here to set up. So he was tired. Here's what I say about falling asleep in church. You don't go to church regularly if you've never fallen asleep in church. Can I get an amen? It just happens. Okay, we're tired. We do things. We burn the candle at both ends, right? We go to football games on Saturday night, Saturday afternoon. We're at our kids' events. We're at somebody else's house. We come to church. We have stuff to do in the afternoon. We're tired, right? We're tired. And so, but it's this spiritual sleepiness that gets us into a problem. In hindsight, when we talk about spiritual sleepiness, probably we've missed it a lot. we need to be more aware. So let's look at Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. You may have glossed over this. You may never heard of this guy before. It's there. It's plain as day. I'm going to be really honest with you. I've read this. I've read through the whole chapter, the whole book of Acts. I've read chapter 20. I don't remember this guy. But here he is, and so it applies to us today. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, hey, looky here, look at where we are. Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered together, and there was a young man named Eutychus sitting on the windowsill, sinking into a deep sleep. And as Paul kept on talking, he was overcome by sleep, and he fell from the third floor, and he was picked up dead. But Paul went down and fell upon him, and after embracing him, he said, "Do not be troubled, for life is in him." When he had gone back up and had broken the bread and eaten, he talked with them a long time until even daybreak, and then left. They took away the boy alive and were greatly comforted. How many of you have ever remember reading that? I'm just curious. Anybody? Yeah, I mean, it kind of just gets poked in there, right? Here's Paul talking. We see them breaking bread together. There's a lot of that conversation in Acts, and yet we overlook this one guy. And apparently it was very important to put these three or four sentences in Scripture about this one young man, and I think it's for us today. And here's why, is because when they were gathered together, there were things happening, there were things going on, they were busy, life was happening, and it's no different than us. Gathering together in the name of the Lord, celebrating communion together, having a meal together. Think about brunch 2 weeks ago and just whatever it might be. Think about all those things, and here we are right here. But what I want to point out to you is about the awareness that they had. The awareness of what was going on, why they were gathered together. That's why I said, what are your expectations today? What are your expectations of what Christ is going to do, how he's going to show up in your life, how your prayers are going to be answered? What are you going to learn something from what the pastor says, or is this going to be another boring sermon and he drones on and on and on? And by the way, see, it's not always my fault that we go too long. It happened to Paul. How many of y'all would stay till midnight? Thanks, I really appreciate that. Thank you. One child over here, I really appreciate that. And then after that, he stayed until morning, right? So why? I think the first thing is our, holy cow, I've got the wrong sermon. Hold on just 2 seconds here. See, I told you. You don't want to go back to that one, I promise you. Is this it? Yeah, here we go. I'm getting there. I'm so sorry. Awareness. They had an awareness about what was going on, but here's the deal, is awareness really is about your capacity. And here's what I want you to know from this. Here's what I want you to learn from this. Here's what I want to start sinking in, because this is kind of, it's pretty basic for me, but at the same time, I don't always apply it to me. When I say awareness is about your capacity, the Lord is always ready. He has more than enough that he wants to pour out on you. The question is, do you have the capacity to receive it? Are you aware enough of what's going on to receive what the Lord has to give you? Now, I know that the Lord can make that happen. He can get you ready. He can prepare you. But it really is about your own heart. It really is about your own thought processes. It really is about your own expectations that we'll get here into just a minute. I know it's shocking, but here's what I want to say sometimes, right? I had never really thought about this. This is an anecdote from somebody else, but I really love it. Is how many of y'all have ever walked up to me and said, man, Matt, that was one of the most powerful messages you've ever preached. That was one of the best messages I've ever heard. Have you ever said that to a preacher ever? Raise your hand. Nobody in here has ever said it to me. Is that what you're saying? See, we're just going downhill. Boy, the wheels are coming off quicker and quicker. What would you do if that pastor or speaker turned around and said to you, "Well, I really appreciate that, and you know what I observed today? Today's the most attentive you have ever been. Today's the best day I've ever seen you paying attention. today is the best day that I've ever seen you really look at the scripture, and you had your Bible out. Today, it looked like you were actually taking it in. You weren't distracted. See, that would offend a lot of us. But that's what he's talking about. Are you ready? Are you in a place in your life where you have the capacity open to what the Lord has for you? That's all he's really talking about, because there's power in the presence of the Lord. Where that we lack the power is, are we prepared to receive it? Do we have ourselves open to it? Are we open to the Spirit? Scripture tells us in Matthew 26, 40 and 41. He says, "And he, Jesus, came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'So you men, you people, you guys, you friends, you disciples, you church members, couldn't keep watch with me for 1 hour?'" See, their capacity was not up to Jesus' expectations. 1 hour. He was asking them just to sit and pray for 1 hour, to pray in the Spirit, to intercede for him, to keep watch, not keep watch for bad guys, not keep watch for other people coming, but just to keep watch over him in prayer. And then he says, why? I mean, I don't know why they went to sleep. Why is it that we go to sleep when we have an obligation? Why is it that we get tired in the middle of worship, or we get tired at a conference or at a seminar or during a webinar or during a meeting, right? Because either one, we don't think it's important. Two, it doesn't apply to us. Three, we just really were physically tired. How many of y'all hate meetings at 1:15 p.m., right after you ate, right? I mean, it's just the worst possible time. There's all sorts of reasons we get sleepy, but Jesus tells us why we shouldn't. In 41, he says, "Keep watch and praying that you may not enter into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." See, he's worried about us falling into temptation. He's worried about us being spiritually asleep and getting deceived by such nonsense as sleep is the sanctuary of our soul, right? Or sleep is a prophetic ministry. Those may be all really well-written and very persuasive books, but they're not scriptural. They're not biblical. He's saying, stay awake. The problem I have with this guy sitting by the window is this idea of where he sat. Not that he went to sleep. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, I know some really great preachers. I know some really great speakers, and there were some that I would travel to go see because I think they have wonderful teachings, and I would love to pick their brain about some things. But if they went from the time allotted through midnight and then through, you know, sunup, I'm probably going to go to sleep, aren't you? We're going to get tired. But it's where Eutychus sat that is really the problem. He sat in the window. Now, I'm just going to confess to you that if we go somewhere together and there's somebody speaking and I choose to sit in the back, you know what I'm doing? I'm preparing to make an exit at some point. Anybody with me? Look at you sitting in the back. No indictment, okay? Right? Just in case. I promise you, at Christmas and Easter, the ones that are sitting in the back, they're the ones that have a turkey or a ham in the oven, right? Just in case we run long, they can jet and get to the house and get things going. I am the same way, right? But let me tell you, if I sit on the front row, I'm attentive. I'm ready. This is about me personally, not all of you. This is where I place myself. I can't sit by a window or I'm going to be looking outside. I can't be where, if you go to a restaurant and we're going to have a meeting, I don't need to sit where I can see the television, right? I don't need to see Chive TV and the latest squirrel trick happening, right? Right? For me to be spiritually asleep, for me to be distracted, whatever it might be, on my phone, checking things off in my head, going through my list, looking around, looking at the latest gadgets in the room, looking at the architecture, looking outside, watching the latest cat and cucumber video on YouTube. Whatever it might be, we can be distracted, but here's where it really comes down to it, is awareness, right? This awareness is about your expectations. You're going to be aware based on what you expect. Robin, we were outside last night talking to a neighbor across the street, and I went in before Robin and said, hey, I got to go in, I'm tired, I'm going to go get in the shower, and whatever it was, and but then I heard Robin say goodbye also. Robin's awareness was that I was in the house. Robin's expectation was not that I was going to be standing in the garage with the light shining on my face when it was dark and go, hey! Right? She swung, I ducked, it all turned out fine. Right? Her awareness was not based on the expectation, right? See, when we think about this, Acts 20 verse 8, what we just read, I'm going to go back up to it just so you can see it. Let's see here. Yep. There were many lamps in the upstairs room. Now, what does that mean? Why would they tell us that? Why do we care that they had a lot of lamps in the upstairs room? The only thing I care about, and they don't even tell us, is what Paul was talking about. That's what I would want to know. I don't really care if they had extra lamps. I don't care if they had a lot of lamps. Here's why it matters, is they had an expectation that maybe they might run long. They had an expectation that maybe a lot of people would show up. They had an expectation that Scripture doesn't tell us this, but this is what we do, right? Well, we're gonna invite some friends over and some family over. How many are coming? I don't know, 10, 15, 20. Did you invite anybody else? Well, we told this family to come, but I don't know if they're coming. And, you know, this is just how it works. And so they had the expectation that maybe when Paul started preaching, because they had heard maybe somewhere else, man, when he was in this other town and he came and talked, boy, healing started happening, demons were cast out. I mean, they went from 1 hour to 2 hours to 5 hours to 10 hours. We need to have some extra lamps. And not only have extra lamps, but they all need to be full of oil. We need to have extra food. We need to have extra seating. We need to be prepared. See, that's what this expectation, an awareness about the expectation is are you really expecting God to do anything? Are you just expecting your life to go on and on and on, day after day? I mean, it is possible that they just had extra because they were sitting around, but that would be like us saying that we just had extra piles of money just in case we needed it. I mean, lamp oil was expensive. Having extra lamps was not a luxury, right? If they had one or two, they were happy. But no, they had extra. Maybe they borrowed from friends. I don't know. But when the Spirit moved and God shows up, I think we have to be ready. Look at this. It says, now Peter, this is where Jesus is up on the Mount of what we call Transfiguration, and his disciples are with him. And this is where Moses and Elijah show up at the same time. And it says, now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep. Here we are again. Jesus has brought them to a great place. He doesn't tell them this is going to happen. But I think if I'm traveling with Jesus, if I'm a Christian and I'm going to places where there's the Spirit is moving and where Jesus is showing up and where we're coming to worship and we're coming to do things, maybe I should have an expectation, but they keep falling asleep. But it says when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men were standing with him. See, here we are once again remembering who Christ is and how we're relating to him. Are you sleepy? Are you tired? Are you spiritually tired? What are you doing to keep yourself awake? What are you doing to engage in the Lord? Romans 13, 11 through 12 says this. It says, do this, knowing the time that is already the hour appointed before you, for you to awaken from sleep, now that salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. See, we should be more and more awake as life goes on. Because we're getting closer and closer to the day of the Lord as life goes on. Wouldn't we want to know more? Wouldn't we want to have a deeper relationship with Him? Wouldn't we want to have more power? We're all getting closer and closer. See, there's some candles not lit here. Those are ours. We're getting closer and closer to this day, and wouldn't we want to be ready? So the question is, what do you expect? And here's where I just want to quickly run through your expectations, your biblical expectations. Your biblical expectations in Jesus will be met. I can almost promise and guarantee it in writing. When I say biblical, it's not because you can't have the expectation that on your birthday that Jesus is going to show up in the best car that you've ever wanted and He's going to give that to you on your birthday. Not that kind of expectation. But the biblical expectation that God is going to do something in your life, and we can back it up with Scripture and it's a prayerful consideration, I promise you He will. And it could be the greatest biblical expectation. I think He's going to fulfill it. But here's what normally happens is our expectations are so low that they don't energize us. They don't do anything for us. They're not exciting. And we lose expectations. We lose that. And we become sleepy. How do you know you're spiritual sleepy? These are my ideas. How do you know that you're spiritual sleepy? You're isolated. You're not in community. How do you know you're spiritual sleepy? You've lost your desire to read Scripture. You've lost your desire to pray. You've lost your desire to be in a Bible study. You've lost your level of accountability with a Christian brother or sister. How do you know you're spiritually sleepy? You've lost your willingness to serve. Maybe you never had it. I don't know. But you want to know you're spiritually sleepy? Just ask the Lord. Say, Lord, where have I fallen asleep in my relationship with You? I'm alive. I'm physically not sleepy. But apparently, Eutychus was in a Christian atmosphere. He sat in a window. And Scripture doesn't tell us if anybody said anything to him or not. Was he nodding off? How many of you are the nodding sleeper when you start going to sleep, you know? Did he sway a little bit? Did he nod his head? Or did nobody even see that he was going to sleep? See, this is about living in community. We should be focused on the Lord, but also taking care of each other. So if you see me getting spiritually sleepy, you should wake me up. You should help me, and I should help you. This is where we need to help each other to make sure I don't let you sit in a three-story building by the window when I know that you're nodding off. So you don't fall. You don't fall into temptation. You don't fall into nonsense. The last thing I want us to happen is for us to all think that we're spiritually happy, but yet we're spiritually sleepy, and we fall into temptation and we die. Not just physically dead, I mean spiritually dead. Because how do you know you're sleepy? Here's what I think. I think our awareness of our sleepiness only happens when something or someone wakes us up, right? When you're whoever's sitting next to you in church nudges you. I didn't know I was dozing off. You're snoring. Your head's doing like this. The people behind you, four rows, are laughing, right? How many of you can think you can drive while you're dozing off? See, that's how we're doing our whole life. We're going 75 miles an hour down the lanes of life and we're falling asleep. Nothing but catastrophe coming when that happens. But let me end with this. Even when we fall asleep, even when we fall, when we do it in the Lord, look what Paul did. It says he ran downstairs. Somebody got there before Paul did. And when they got there, they picked up this young man, and he was dead. Scripture says they picked him up dead. But Paul, I don't know, can you just imagine? I mean, you're the preacher, and somebody falls asleep, and they die because of your message. He grabs him, and the Spirit of the Lord flows through Paul, and he comes back to life. See, that's what we do in community. You know somebody right now that's fallen asleep spiritually. You know somebody right now that needs to be hit, nudged, shaken, grabbed, embraced, so they can wake up to be back together, brought back into community, just like Eutychus was, brought back upstairs. And it says when they got back together, it says, what did they do? They broke bread together. See, that's the whole sacrifice that we're talking about here is, how do we live in community? How do we help each other when we fall asleep spiritually? How do we liven each other? How do we wake each other up? We take the bread and we remember that it's not by our power, it's by the power of Christ himself. He took that bread and he broke it, just like they did after Eutychus got back up. Can you imagine how thankful they were? It would bring a whole new meaning to communion in the moment if somebody died in this room and they were resurrected. Amen? Here's what I want to challenge you. Some of us are dead spiritually, and Jesus is wanting to bring us back to life. There is a reason to celebrate. There is a reason that we need this communion today, because it's in remembrance of his mighty acts, of the bread that was broken, the brokenness of his body, the sacrifice of his blood that was shed for us and for many for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we could have eternal life, that we could be resurrected, that we could be awakened. Here's my hope for you today, is when you take this bread, you dip deep. And when you eat it and you partake it, that bread and that juice, you're parched and you're thirsty spiritually right now, that physical feeling, that would be the spiritual feeling of an awakening that would carry you forward from today. Lord God, use us. Lord, as we are thankful for how you used your son to redeem us, Father, use us as the body of Christ. Let these be the elements. Let these be the representation, the representation of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ sacrificed for us. Lord, that we may be one for the world, that we would show the world your love. Lord, that we would grab somebody that we know is spiritually dead. Lord, that we would grab somebody that we know is falling asleep. That we would grab somebody that we know is nodding off in their spirituality and their walk with you and their faithfulness. Lord, in their relationships, in their marriages, in their parenting, in their jobs, in their calling. Lord, and we would just embrace them and allow your power to flow. It's in the name of Christ. It's in the name of Christ we say amen. Father God, thank you for this day that you have given us. Lord, I feel that you have just in so many different ways, in so many avenues, through different elements of this day of worship, that you have touched lives. Lord, I pray that it would be the one thing that awakens us this very day. And Lord, that we would stay awake, and we would help each other to move along the way of Jesus. And all the people said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.